San Diego County, AAUW, which is the American University of American Association of University Women of La Mesa and El Cajon, and Foothills Secondary Council, PTA. So it's a cooperative effort of three organizations to bring the candidates to you so that you can ask questions. The procedures for the evening are, if you have questions, you can raise your hand. Volunteers will bring you paper and pencils. You can write out your questions. We have screeners to sort of lump them together by topic, level of appropriateness, non-repetitiveness, that type of thing. When they're done screening, they'll bring them to me. I will ask them. We have four of our five candidates here. Everyone RSVP'd, so I'm hoping that we have everyone. They appear to you in the order that they appear on the ballot. We will have two-minute opening statements from the candidates. A minute to answer questions. If that doesn't seem like it's going to be enough, we'll, with the permission of the candidates, bump that up a little bit. And two-minute closing statements. I'm hoping that nobody put campaign signs outside anywhere. If you did, sneak away and take them down. We'll get in lots of trouble. And does anybody have any questions before we move on? Yes. Okay, great. We will welcome her and let her do her opening when she makes it. If you need anything, if you need paper or you need to turn in your question, just raise your hand and volunteers on the left and the right will come to you. Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is the 2 minutes opening remarks negotiable?
Sure.
If we have time, maybe three?
Candidates, do you want three?
Just for some breathing room?
We've never done three. It was always been more than that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so we will go ahead and begin with Mr. Woods.
And do we work on there?
No, you can, that's a good question. You can turn your green button to turn your microphone on. And when you're not speaking, you turn the red button to turn it off so you don't get feedback from the other candidates.
Thank you very much. I want to begin with a statement from Ronald Reagan, and that is that status quo is Latin for the mess we're in. And friends, we are in a big mess. As a country, as a state, as a school board, you know, if you've been listening to the news today, you've heard that the stock market has gone below 10,000. We're in a recession. We're in real trouble. The state of California is asking to be bailed out by the federal government. They don't got the money. Pardon my bad English. I'm a professor, so I shouldn't do that. But we're in a real trouble. There's going to be cuts. Serious cuts from Sacramento to the Grossmont School District. I'm afraid that we're going to have teachers that are laid off. The question is how many? And this is scary stuff. So thank you for allowing me to speak before you. The race that we're in is kind of like a David and Goliath story. Meg, who's not here yet, and I have been running here, and we're running against well-funded incumbent politicians, and they have campaign funds and connections that we don't have. On the other hand, I touch the future because I'm a teacher. I love kids. I'm passionate about school and about teaching. I've taught in the public schools. I'm a professor of education. I teach college skills, principles of teaching, the teaching process, graduate writing. I attended Cypress College, Cal State Fullerton, Tennessee Temple, Lyon International University. I got a doctor of education technology. Now, Edmund Burke, the Irish philosopher and politician, once said, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing." And friends, we have done nothing for far too long. This Grossmont School Board is about three things and three things only. It's about corruption, dysfunction, and indifference. Everything else is a smokescreen. Everything else is a diversion. Everything else is a distraction. We have on the Grossmont School Board, I think, hacks who are willing to do anything to stay elected. And so I want to say here that I have a doctor of technology. For me, the issues are excellence in education, a safe learning environment, and fiscal responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are at 3 minutes.
Thank you, Lisa. See, we should have negotiated that 3 minutes.
Sorry.
Good evening. I'd like to especially thank the Women League of Voters and the other hosts that brought this event together tonight, and all of you for participating and your interest in this race. My name is Priscilla Schreiber, and I am seeking a third term on the Grossmont Union High School Board. I'd like to start off by thanking my opponents and fellow colleagues for their commitment to be here tonight, and am hopeful that this forum will prove to be a very informative discussion. It has been an honor to serve on this district over the last eight years, and I humbly look forward to a possible third term to continue moving forward. Please visit my website, a shameless plug, PriscillaSchreiber.com, for more details and a list of my distinguished endorsements that I'm very proud of. I brought with me our first State of the Schools report for your information, and Member Hoy has them in his hand. That was just published, and we'd like you to take a look at that and see what the great things that we're doing. We're extremely excited about that first publication and the way that we're communicating with our community on the things that we are doing in Grossmont. And I just have to add, I have never been more proud to wear my lipstick with a smile. With all the challenges that we face in education, it is no easy task and one I take very seriously. For that reason, it was my desire to learn all that I could about my role and responsibilities as a school board member. Coming from the construction industry gave me some usable experience for this position, but as I sought to represent this district to the best of my ability, I needed to have more of an educational perspective and an understanding of the district. It was important to visit the campuses, meet with teachers, staff, and parents, attend board meetings, and network with other local school board members. I am grateful for the opportunity to have received my master's in governance and learned what a role is of a school board member and how they work with their superintendent as a governance team to set goals and objectives, vision and mission statements, strategic planning, superintendent evaluations, and board agendas. And I'll follow up later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Larry Erdahl, and I'm running for re-election for my second term of the Grossmont Union High School District. I didn't know the district was in such trouble. I thought we were doing pretty good. Anyway, one of the reasons that I'm running for re-election is to continue moving the Grossmont District forward. And that includes education for the 21st century, upgrading our educational technology, science labs, and maintaining a safe learning environment. As most of you know, modernization under Proposition H, school facilities, has been implemented and begun. This last year, the ABI test scores in Grossmont for the year 2008 were up 9 points to a total of 713, which is an improvement over last year where a total was 702. All but one school had massive improvements this year. Two of our schools went over 40 points. Last month, we introduced character counts to the district from the Michael Joseph Institute of Ethics, and what we are now teaching all of our personnel in the Grossmont School District and our students through the ASB is trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, caring, fairness, and good citizenship. Since 2007, 67.9% of our students have gone on to a 2 or 4 year college or a vocational program. That's 15% above the state average. Our dropout rate is 50% of what the county and the state dropout rate is. In fact, Grossmont Union High School District has just been recently awarded the model district for dropout prevention in the school districts in San Diego. And also, I support Proposition U along with the San Diego County Taxpayers, Association Supervisor Diane Jacob, and many other elected officials. Proposition U will enable... I'll finish later, thanks.
Okay, we're going to give you a time to catch your breath since you just got here. What we're doing is 2-minute opening statements, and we'll let you go last. So,
I'm Carol Moon. First, I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for sponsoring this forum, and I'd like to thank all of you for coming.
Let me start by correcting the Union Tribune's characterization of my campaign in its recent editorial. Please tell everyone that my campaign is alive and well. A foot injury keeps me from aggressive doorbelling, but I'm still available to show up for community and home gatherings, and I've certainly had enough time to study the issues. Fortunately, many campaign activities can be carried out by phone or email. I have put up a website, voteboon.org, and I'm on the League of Women Voters website. I have sought and received endorsements from San Diego Imperial County's Labor Council, SEIU 22, San Diego Democratic Party, East County Democratic Club, La Mesa Foothills Democratic Club, and a long list of individuals. They're on my website. I'm running for school board because I believe that quality education is a wise investment in our economic future. I've taken a position of yes on Proposition U, including building a new high school in Alpine. I believe that maintaining school facilities is a critical investment in our students that benefits the entire community. I also support increased career technical education to prepare more students for better futures. Let me tell you about my background. I'm a lawyer and a mediator with 30 years experience in program management in Washington State and local government. I come from a family of teachers. My mother was a school principal. My father, a high school teacher in Fairbanks, Alaska, where I was raised. My sister retired recently after 30 years as a teacher in Denver. I'm a proud mother and grandmother. My commitment as a school board member is to support open decision-making and problem-solving that is based on respect for differences and finding common ground. I also bring seasoned management skills, proven leadership, and experience bringing people together around tough issues. Thank you.
I just want to make a point of clarification. The League of Women Voters has a website called smartvoter.org. We don't endorse candidates or provide web services for candidates, but we do have a website called Smart Voter that all candidates are welcome to put their information on, and that's what Ms. Bin was referring to. But I welcome everyone to check out smartvoter.org. Ms. Jednak, 2 minutes for opening statements.
Okay, thank you. First, I'd like to thank the organizers for this evening. For bringing us together. The process of electing a school board is an important one, and tonight's forum is an important part of that process. You know, when one looks at our ballot statements, you won't see much of a difference. We all say we care about kids, we all say we care about taxpayers, and we're running on good ethics. But there's a stark difference. For me, this election is a referendum on character. I believe the incumbents, Priscilla Schreiber and Larry Erdahl, do not show it. They are mired in scandal, they are mired in controversy, and they've tricked the voters of this district into thinking they are something that they aren't. And they've made themselves and this district a laughingstock of this county, and some would say the state. They originally came into office by getting the support of the largest political party in the county, and now they've lost that support. They've lost their own party's support. More than anything I say this evening, please remember that. The very people who worked very hard to get them in office now want them out. There are plenty of reasons for it, but the bottom line, the incumbents have lost the support and the endorsement of their own party because they stopped representing the people that voted for them. Study their track record. It appears that they're in it for their own power and their own rewards, and it's time for a change. I'm 38 years old, I'm a Southern California native. I'm a graduate of San Diego State University, and I'm a mother of three boys that will go into this district, so I have a vested interest. I will fight to make sure that our kids have the best opportunity to learn and to exceed. I will bring my experience as a parent and a volunteer and a professional to make sure that the Grossmont Union High School District becomes a model of success in helping kids and a model of civility. Thank you.
Okay, now we're moving on to questions, and we have 1 minute to answer the question. In this case, there's multiple questions on Prop U, and so, and they're good questions on Prop U, so try to address, we're gonna have more than one opportunity to talk about Prop U, so try to address the question. The first one is, please explain, and we're going to start now with you, Ms. Schreiber. Please explain how you plan to address the priority of work should Prop U pass.
Thank you for that question. I think it is already addressed in our ballot statement, and you'll see for each campus site that there are priorities. They had an extensive team work together to review the campus needs after some of the work had been done under Prop H. Those projects that are still yet left to be completed, but the funds have ran out, and so we have a priority list already in place. So I'm not quite sure prioritize for each campus. I didn't bring that literature to share with you, but I think our staff and the site teams and our Citizens Bond Oversight Committee have done an excellent job to go after what is still left to be done and prioritize those with the district site or the site campuses. Thank you.
Ms. Jenner.
Please repeat the question.
Please explain how you plan to address the priority of work should Prop U pass.
Well, I hope Prop U does not pass. I do because I think it's a waste of taxpayers' money at this point in the economy. I think our economy is in terrible condition right now. It's the last thing we want to do is tax the taxpayers. But I understand wanting to build another school for those residents. I used to live in Alpine. I may move to Alpine again, and my kids will be in high school. But at this time, in this terrible economy, it is not the right time to tax anybody else. And it's not the right time to build a school that we don't need.
Echoing along what Ms. Schreiber said, the district has a well-defined plan as to just exactly with our facilities master plan as to what we're going to do. The main thing we're going to do first, when the bond passes, is complete the renovation and modernization that was not done in Proposition H. The next thing that we're going to do, which is critical to the growth of our district, is provide career tech, a total of 30 different classrooms in all the schools that provide real jobs for real, that someone, when they graduate from school, can go into immediately, which affects the overall economy of East County and affects the overall graduation rate and affects the overall attendance record that we have. Thank you.
Ms. Boone.
I understand. I agree that there is already a priority list.
Thank you. Mr. Woods.
Usually I go by Dr. Woods because I do have the earned doctorate of Education, Technology, and Learning from Alliant International University, and it's one of our great San Diego schools. And my whole degree is in technology and educational technology and how do we develop the right learning environments for students to be there using 21st century cutting edge technologies. And there's many things I like about Prop U. When Prop 8 was first created, we realized that we needed to have a follow-up proposition because there wasn't enough money to do everything we want to. But Prop U is not the one for it. This is not the time where, did I get a flash on card for?
Well, that was just 30 seconds.
Oh, 30 seconds, okay, I gotta go. Boy, this is worse than teaching a class. this is not a time to rush through a bond. We have time to do it, and this is not the economy to build a new school. But I have a question for Mr. Erdahl. Why should the voters trust you with $500 million if you are right now under bankruptcy and under investigation from the DA for all types of improper behavior? This bond needs to have proper oversight.
Okay, that is the end of that question. I'd like to ask the candidates to refrain from attacking the other candidates and just run on your policy statements and your positions, if you don't mind.
Why? Free up the truth.
Feel free to not answer the question if you feel like you've addressed it already. You can pass your time and let us get on to other issues. But we're going to start with Ms. Jednak on this one, and it's a follow-up on the bond issue. It says, this bond does not address our AP, our advanced placement students, only career tech. What are we going to do for the AP students? Are you referring to Prop U or Prop H that has already passed?
I believe the maker meant Prop U.
Okay, well, again, I'm just going to reiterate, I don't think Prop U should pass, and here's why. It might have passed if Mrs. Schreiber and Mr. Erdahl didn't put in there the new school that we don't need for $65 million, and then we could address those items. But because we're not going, but because we have to put in a $65 million school and more than more than a $1 to $3 million a year to take care of that school, we don't need it. We don't need Prop U. Mr. Erdahl.
I believe Proposition U does address every facet for all of our students. Number one, it repairs and modernizes all of our classrooms, and in many cases we have brand new science labs built. We're going to have new classrooms built for career tech. All these will help increase attendance and increase a positive atmosphere in school, which will make it a much more learning environment. We'll have a much higher attendance rate as a result of this. And right now, our test scores are going up on an annual basis. The district is improving on a regular basis. If we have more classrooms and more classrooms with air conditioning in them, that just makes for a better learning environment. I haven't heard any teachers in this district complain whenever their classroom has been modernized and completed. It's just a better overall situation altogether. Thank you.
We're talking beyond the individual questions, and I was trying to stick with the individual questions. Is it okay to be saying a different?
Well, the audience, I think, wants their questions addressed. So the question is, this bond does not address AP students, only career tech. What are you going to do for AP students? So you wouldn't necessarily have to talk about the bond. You can talk about what you're going to do for AP students, but we would like you to answer the questions.
Oh, you'd like me to stick with the questions rather than wandering?
Yes, please.
I understand that it does address AP students, and I'm not certain where the question comes from. I hope I get a chance to make some other remarks about Prop U later.
Dr. Woods, sorry.
Thank you. It's the needs of AP students and other non-traditional learners and at-risk students is why we really need to go back and rewrite Prop U. It was rushed through too fast. It hasn't been examined. It doesn't have the oversight. It doesn't have all of the mechanisms that a good, proper bond should have. And this is going to be wasting our money for the next 20 years. We're going to have all kinds of financial funding cuts for Sacramento. We don't have money to spare. We're going to be losing teachers. We may have to close the school, and Prop U is not what we need. And so we need to, it says a new school, this is in the ballot, sample ballot, a new school will cannibalize district resources and result in the layoff of teachers, librarians, coaches, counselors, and classified school employees. We can't build a new school and then close down existing schools. That is not fair to our students that are here in the district. Do I have a little more time or am I out? This is just not fair to our kids and teachers.
Thank you. If we're talking about the facilities bond under Prop U and Prop H, I think we're well on our way to complete and equalize all of the existing classrooms for all of our students, whether they be AP, honor, or career tech. So I'm not quite sure of how that question relates in there. If there is a concern about AP specifically, that our students will not be addressed in AP, that's been an ongoing discussion for a long time, with or without a bond. We want to make sure that we have courses that can complement and help all of our students succeed in the direction that they want to go. Thank you.
Okay. We'll start with Mr. Erdahl next, and we're going to move on for a while to a different topic, student safety. How will you ensure that all students are protected from harassment, including for sexual orientation, at the schools?
Well, the district already has plans in effect for that. We have a zero toleration possible, a zero tolerance level for any harassment or discrimination at all in the Grossmont Union School District. In my first term on the Grossmont School Board, one of the things that I volunteered for was the East County Gang Task Force. The East County Gang Task Force, which was later taken over by the county, has been very effective throughout the schools in the East County District. Now what we have to do, which I plan on implementing in my second term, is to make sure that we get the gang intervention programs going in the program. One of the things that Proposition U will enable us to do is provide more security equipment, which we now have throughout all the campuses. It's cut down on a lot of theft. We haven't had the level of violence that we used to. And I just can't think of anything that's more important in the school district right now than the safety of our students. We have
guard.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
Thank you. Ms. Boone?
I agree that safety is important for the students. And I've seen a number of programs. I was involved in a program up in Seattle, Washington, called the peer mediation program, where we took students and trained them to be peer mediators in the classrooms and on the school grounds, and basically saw a significant reduction in violence and especially in bullying. And bullying is something that is so. One of the things that happens is that bullying, people say, well, that wasn't bullying. I wasn't really bullying. I was just teasing, right? And I'd like to see a program like that. And in fact, I think there is a program in the Grossmont School District, and I'd like to see more of them.
Sexual harassment is criminal. You can't do this with kids. This is awful. Kids are just learning what life is all about, and for them to be harassed is intolerable. There are certain things that we all don't tolerate, and I think this is one of them. And we have at the Helix School that several teachers have had sex with six or more students, and nothing has been done to just deal with this except call someone in. I think the wife of the principal did some investigation, said, oh, it's all fine. This is not fine. And then I just was reading in some minutes how Mr. Erdahl and Ms. Shriver had voted against applying sexual harassment issues against board members. Look, if we're going to get it against the teachers, we need to get it against the board members as well. We cannot tolerate sexual harassment on the board level, on the superintendent level, on the administrative level, on the teacher, any level.
Thank you.
Thank you. Could you repeat the question, please?
How will you ensure that all students are protected from harassment, including for sexual orientation, at the schools?
I will concur with Mr. Erdahl, and I think most of us up here know that we have policies in place to protect all of our students. So just sexual orientation students, perceived sexual orientation, they have every bit of safety protection under our policy as any other student has, and we want to make sure that unless there's something else going on out there, we want to make sure that all of those incidences are reported. And our superintendent has incorporated an opportunity for our staff to meet and collaborate over these kind of issues and to give them the opportunity to understand the importance here and that they need to report those incidences, whether it be themselves that are being sexually harassed, and certainly if students are being sexually harassed. But any kind of bullying, I believe that we have in place. It's an uphill battle at times, but I think that we have a great management team in place. We have great principals in place. We have great teachers that are doing what they can to protect all of our students. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to go back real fast to
the AP question real fast. Prop U is either going to pass or it's not going to pass, so I'm glad we're not talking about that anymore. But on the AP issue, I have a gifted and talented child, and I know he's not served in his junior high school right now, so you can guarantee
that I will pay attention to the AP, the gifted and talented, and also the other students who have learning-related difficulties. I do know that we have about $10 billion or $10 million a year that the government has not been giving us for special ed. I know that we've attempted to go after it, but not hard. That means we're missing $10 million a year in our coffers to put toward those programs. So you have my promise that that would be addressed. Let me point out my three boys in this row. I have an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, and an 8-year-old. They're in the second row. And what I believe this board has been doing is sending those kids back at Helix, right back to the molesters. And I wouldn't send them down the street to continue to get molested. And I believe that that's what Mr. Erdahl and Mrs. Schreiber are doing by not addressing this Helix issue, and I would address it immediately.
Yes.
Okay, we're moving on to another question, and we will start with Ms. Boone first. And it is to all board members. We're starting to get questions directed to individual board members, so I'll maybe take those in about half an hour, try to get questions that for all board members in the beginning, and then we'll start going to individual board members as the evening wears on. That's okay. Okay, so here's the question. What do you plan to do to add a spirit of cooperation with your fellow board members?
Pardon me. I have a number of years of experience as a mediator and facilitator of groups. In fact, I've worked with large groups with very diverse and conflicting interests to bring them together. It's a matter of listening and learning to listen and not necessarily attacking each other. So I guess what I would bring is an attitude of listening carefully to each other and collaborating and trying to find common ground. This is something that is part of my training and part of my experience.
Thank you, Dr. Woods.
As a teacher, my first calling is to protect students. And I will work with everyone that protects students. But as I said, that this board has three problems. We have corruption, we have dysfunction, and we have indifference or the tolerance of sexual harassment of our kids, of the rape of girls. This, by teachers, and even a vice principal or a person who's about to become vice principal, this cannot be tolerated. I will not work with people who are involved or tolerate or condone sexual harassment in any form at all. There are things we tolerate. Tolerance is a great virtue, but there are certain things we do not tolerate, and this is one that I will not tolerate. I will not overlook, cover up, or let these teachers get away with, we'll just take your credential. More needs to be done than that.
Thank you, Ms. Schreiber.
Thank you. I believe the question was, how do we work together as a board?
What do you plan to do to add a spirit of cooperation with your fellow board members?
Okay, first I would like to address the Helix tragic situation. This board has worked together. It was not just Member Erdahl or myself to ask for a notice to cure. Through our superintendent and our district office, we have worked with Helix. They've been asked to hire a character program, if you will, sexual harassment team to come in and talk about those issues. So I can't understand why anyone here would think that this board has given Helix a pass in that kind of conduct. So I'm kind of miffed by that. As far as the, and that's currently still under investigation. As far as bringing a cooperative spirit to the board, over the past 2 years, since we did have a change in the board majority and a change in leadership, I believe that this board has worked the best the Grossmont District Board has worked in many, many years. And I think that it's important that when we put in place our standards of governance that we have on our back wall and our missions and goals and those type of things, that is to help us keep the spirit of cooperation and what's best for kids at the forefront. Thank you.
Ms. Jenga?
I think that's funny that you say that it's still under investigation. In fact, it's not. What happened was they got a $50,000 ethics counselor to tell them not to have sex with the kids. Who knows not to have sex with kids when you're a teacher? We didn't need to spend $50,000 on that. So I take issue with that. I'm a mother of three kids. That's why I'm running. My kids are going to go into this district. After everybody I talked to and everybody who suggested that I run, after I spoke with a lot of people, this board is dysfunctional and everyone knows that the personalities clash and we need a change. I'm a civil person. I have good manners. I don't talk about my team members in public. I don't endorse other candidates. I would pay attention to the board that I'm on, and that's what my job would be, to be on the board that I'm on and not endorse and not campaign for other candidates. I would pay attention to the kids in this district and their parents and the teachers in the classroom. That's what I would do.
Thank you, Mr. Erdl.
Well, I concur with what Ms. Shriver said. I've had teachers in the district come up to me and said, this board is functioning better than any time it has in the last 10, 15 years. I don't recall any dysfunction at all since there was a change of board 2 years ago. Civility has returned to the Grossmont board. Progress is being made. It's time to make sure that this board continues to move forward and not turn the clock back by going back to the past the way that it used to be when it was uncivil. This is why this is such a critical election. And unfortunately, there's things that we cannot discuss because of closed session environments, but I can assure you that the Helix situation is still under investigation, and there's still a lot of work to be done on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. The next question is regarding charter schools, and Dr. Woods, you'll be the first responder. The question is, should taxpayer money be used to fund charter schools that are not already public schools? Should taxpayer money be used to fund charter schools that are not already public schools?
Okay, yes. That's the type of charter school that I support. There's two types of charter schools, and that's why I had to pause and make sure I'm addressing the right one. One is where a group of teachers who don't like the current administration or a school board or something will take a school away from the district, in a sense, and try to operate it on their own. And they take resources away that from the district by not servicing the average student. They kind of cherry pick the best students from the district and put them in their school, and then they talk about how great their school is. I'm opposed to that. What I'm for is parental involvement and parental choice and parental control of education, because really the teachers are nothing more than local parentis. They're there in place of the parents to teach kids math and reading and English and all those things that are so important for them to be successful and go on to college. See, I teach college and career skills, and so I get the freshmen, right, and my time is up.
Thank you. Ms.
Schreiber. I'm sorry, I have to ask you to repeat that again so I can kind of get a handle on what they're asking.
No problem. Should taxpayer money be used to fund charter schools that are not already public schools?
I think if it's a startup charter school outside of our district, and that community and the parents have a program that they have been successful with for that student, isn't that what we're all about? So if it's a startup charter and it has a great ability to educate kids, not in competition with our traditional public schools, but they have a program that we can incorporate those families and those students under the umbrella and work together, and so we are giving the opportunity to those students, if that's what the question is, for an upstart school outside of a conversion school. I think that if we talk about a conversion school that goes charter, there are some variable facts that I think my colleagues here on the panel don't understand in the original, if you will, charter given to one of our other high schools. I think that could have been handled where possibly that school would not have wanted to go charter, and we would have retained the resources here, but we want to support the community in their efforts. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with Dr. Woods and what he said, but I'm not for it if it's going to be run like Helix. And I'm not for it if we don't have any authority over Helix as a board. And if we can't start an investigation and we can't fire the teachers we need to fire who are having sex with the kids. So in that case, I'm not for charter schools. In other cases, I would be.
Well, I don't think it really matters much whether a board agrees with the charter school or not. There's not a whole lot that we can do. The charter schools are established under state charter law. And as long as they pass a certain criteria, a board has two choices. We can either say yes to the charter or we can say no to the charter. If we don't have a valid reason, then the charter goes right on and we'll just go either to the county to run it or they can be applied to the state. There's absolutely nothing in the education code that allows a school district to turn a charter down. A charter, when it forms its own charter, meets all the rules of the charter law, they have their own board. We merely sit as an oversight, and I think the Grossmont School District does a very good job of doing oversight right now in all of our charter schools. Thank you.
Ms. Booth.
My biggest concern about charter schools is that they drain resources away from the public schools. And as long as they don't do that, if that's possible, then I think that charter schools are fine.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to a different topic. How do you feel about a school board How do you feel about a school board addressing a controversial proposition? Do you think it's appropriate? I believe this is referring to a Prop 8 resolution. How do you feel about a school board endorsing a controversial proposition? Do you think it's appropriate? And we're starting with Ms. Schreiber.
Thank you. When I first got involved with the Grossmont Union High School District, I came in on a very controversial issue when they wanted to add language to our discrimination policy that under state law and federal laws were already there to protect all students. But having said that, that did become law. That was discussed in the Grossmont District. It was brought by a student board representative. We have had very controversial issues. If you're talking about some of the cultural issues that are on a ballot or something like that, if it pertains to the education of our children, it's interesting. I have mixed feelings somewhat because at our character workshop, Michael Josephson said, it is important if you're board members that you're leaders as well, and that you take a stand on a position. It's a difficult thing to do at times because that position that you take affects every student in our district. What's happened so many times is you'll have people bring resolutions to boards used only as political hammers and not with pure motives. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jennings.
I don't think it's a silly issue at all. It's an important issue because it's going to trickle down to our schools. So, unfortunately, that type of stuff is coming down already, and we don't have a choice but to deal with it. So, I don't blame it coming up in a school board meeting. You're going to have to take a stand. It's easy to take a stand if you really believe in what you take a stand for. So, if you're just honest with the voters, tell them what you stand for, let them decide. But I don't think it's a silly issue at all. It's being brought down from Sacramento, so we don't have a choice. We're going to have to do this stuff. I don't want to. I don't want to at all. I don't think it belongs in the boardroom at all. I don't believe this belongs in our schools. But it's coming down from Sacramento, and we're going to have to deal with it. So I think that that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to nip it in the bud to let them know that this board stands where they do. So don't come and attack us.
Mr. Erdahl?
The Proposition H was brought before the Grossmont School Board. To my knowledge, there's been two school boards in the state of California that have voted on this. Ours and LA Unified. LA Unified voted no. We voted yes. I do not believe that this was brought to our board for any other reason other than political controversy, and it was not done by myself or Ms. Shriver. Thank you.
Ms. Boone?
Yes, I feel that the board should not waste time and taxpayer money to be discussing issues that don't have relevance to students and schools. And I think that taking a position on Prop 8 was a waste of time.
Thank you. Dr. Woods.
Mrs. Jendick and Dr. Carol Boone and myself have college degrees, and so we read things. And as a doctor of education, I have to read the California Education Code. Are the two incumbents do not have college degrees. Now, you don't have to have a college degree to be smart, but if you're going to be teaching and overseeing school teachers, you at least need to know what the education code says. And it says that marriage, public school teachers are required to instruct children from kindergarten through 12th grade concerning marriage. Now, as long as we talk about civil unions, and under civil unions, everyone has the same type of rights. But under marriage, they're saying now from kindergarten to 12th grade, we're going to teach this in the classroom. It has to be taught. It would be part of the state code. And so this is an issue that school boards have to address. It was not a funny, silly issue. This is one of the most crucial issues of our time. It needs to be talked about by parents, not by teachers.
Exactly. Moving on to the next topic, how do you see the district utilizing parents in the character education program? We're starting with Ms. Jennings.
Would you please repeat the question?
How do you see the district utilizing parents in the character education program?
Parents are the character education of this county and of this state. They are the character education. That's where character starts, is in the family. Now, during school, they have to have good character. And I understand that Dr. Collins will implement a 6 pillars of character in the high school district, which I'm for. In my heart, I believe all the board members have to have those characteristics too, of responsibility and fairness, caring, civility, which this board has not had, I'm definitely for that.
Thank you, Mr. Erdahl.
Well, I'm very proud that the Grossmont School District, through our superintendent, has brought in character counts. Character Counts is founded by Michael Josephson Institute, and for those of you who are not familiar with Michael Josephson, for years we've had trouble with American athletes sometimes not representing the United States in what would be a proud moment in the Olympics. This year, the Michael Josephson Institute trained all our Olympic athletes prior to going over to the Olympics. We didn't have any instances this year. And I think that is an absolute testimony to how good this character education is that we're now implementing to the district. What's this going to do to the parents in the district? Parents are welcome to participate in this also. But you know, not all parents are fantastic parents. Some parents, unfortunately, drop their kids off at school and allow us to teach them everything. These children now have the opportunity to develop character, and I'll finish later. Thank you.
Is it Dr. Boone? Dr. Boone?
Yes and no. A JD is a doctorate, but usually we're not called doctors.
But you earned it.
Carol?
I highly support this character education program. I think that it's a wonderful thing that the schools are doing. I do agree that character education starts in the home, and that parents should be involved in whatever way possible, and certainly should know about it, know that it's going on, be invited to be involved and participate, and extend it to the home, to their homes. Some parents may not know how to do character education in the home, so I think it's a joint effort.
Dr. Woods?
Well, like Dr. Boone, I don't call people doctors when I earn it. I come from a family of school teachers as well. I've taught in the inner city public schools. Both my sisters have taught in public schools. I know the problems that teachers face. I know the problems that parents face. I know the problems that kids face. And the kids that do the best are those who have a mother and father that's involved in their entire education, that are teaching them right from wrong, that deal with things that teachers can't deal with, because we're in a pluralistic culture, and we have to have collaborative learning, and we have to be tolerant of differences. But the parents need to be involved in that. And what gets me, though, is that when we have school board members violate the Brown Act once or even two times just in a matter of days, and that is illegal, and that was done just not even a few weeks ago. And we have board members who are bankrupt. They're being investigated for embezzlement and fraud and larceny. And they're even going right now and being brought before the district attorney to be investigated. And those are the ones that are teaching, are guiding our board? I'm a teacher, and I have to protect kids. Time's up.
Ms. Schreiber.
I think this district has worked very hard to have parent engagement with our schools and with our teachers. We have members of our PTSA, our Foothills PTSA, here today. Many of them were in the character education program. That is a testament to how they value the ethics program that the superintendent is bringing in. The Grossmont District has always had a character education program. We're just ramping it up. When you looked at heard the statistics of cheating and the many things that were going on, we have a responsibility to our students, and our parents have a responsibility to work in partnership with the district to make sure when they graduate and go on to higher education, because I think that that's the qualification to be a board member now, is to have a college or a doctorate degree, we're going to encourage that they go on for those higher education with ethics and with values and with character. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to next question. We'll start with Mr. Erdahl, and the question is, what specifically do you see as the number one obstacle for Grossmont Union High School District? What specifically do you see as the number one, I guess maybe challenge, for the Grossmont Union High School District?
To be the number one challenge to the Grossmont Union High School District is completing our promise to all the schools in East County when we put Proposition H on the ballot. We told the voters on Proposition H that we were going to do this and we were going to do that, and due to cost overruns and inflation and mismanagement of the bond at the very beginning, unfortunately we were unable to commit to fulfill that promise. We must pass Proposition U so that we can complete our promises made to all the students in the East County area. We promised every classroom would be modernized or repaired. That has not been done. I had promised my daughter that she would have air conditioning in her school by the time she graduated. They finally got air conditioning in Granite Hill School this year. If you make a promise, you've got to keep it. And that is the number one challenge facing Grossmont right now. Thank you.
Well, I would agree with that and add to it that we need to look at having an attitude about quality education being a value. It seems like to me that I believe in economic recovery from the bottom up rather than trickle down. And that means that we as an individual community, as a local community, need to look at what we're going to do in our community to create jobs, to train people, and this is part of what the school district needs to do, is to train people for jobs that are viable jobs, that they can go out and earn a livable wage. And so we have to start thinking in these terms, that this is part of our economic recovery, and that education is the first step.
Thank you. Dr. Woods.
I'm sorry, but I'm an angry teacher, and you know that's the worst nightmare when you do something wrong, because a teacher doesn't let you get away with it. Teachers aren't supposed to let you get away with it. And for me, I see corruption, dysfunction, and indifference of the board members is the greatest problem we have. If we had a good board, we would be doing great things. And we, like, example, Ms. Schreiber claims that she has this Master of Governance. Master's degree, awesome. finally someone with some education. No, she doesn't. She has a 9-hour workshop certificate. She doesn't even have she has no college degree. She's been faking her education. That, now, not being educated is one thing, but faking an education when you don't have one, that is appalling. I also work with accreditation teams, and my job is to check out schools to see what they're doing, and what we're doing is wrong.
Just to reiterate the question, what specifically do you see as the number one obstacle for Grossmont Union High School District? Ms. Schreiber.
Oh, gosh. Well, since we're talking about a dysfunctional board, I think that it's important that we as a board do everything we can to work together, and that's why I went to the California School Boards Associations to get my master's in governance, which to most people I speak to is not misleading. I've never claimed that I have a master's degree, Dr. Woods. So I think that with the California School Board Association's governance program, it helps you understand what will put a board on the same page and having the same direction. This board operated for 4 years without ever having a strategic plan, without ever having goals and objectives by which to measure the accomplishments of the previous superintendents. They worked on job descriptions and received bonuses. I think that's corruption, Dr. Woods. I think that we are moving in the right direction. We, as a board, have hired a stellar superintendent who has a vision to take this district farther than it's ever been before, and that is Prop H and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Jednick?
The college degree issue. The only thing I have to say is that we expect our teachers to have college degrees, so the board that governs them, I think, should also have a college degree. If the board were fully functional, I think I'd have something better to do. But I truly feel compelled because my children are going to be in this district and the board is going to go nowhere. And it's true. They've done what's been asked for them to do. They've tried to govern. But they're at a stalemate right now. And they can't get along. And they're bickering. And everybody knows it. And it's a laughingstock. And it's time for a change. I think the biggest hurdle this district's going to face is a $15 billion deficit from the state. It means that we may have to take away teachers, we may have to take away salaried employees, we're going to have to cut. We can't add. When the house is burning down, you don't plan an addition, and that's what Mrs. Schreiber and Mr. Erdahl are doing. So I think that's going to be the biggest issue. We are in a very terrible time, folks, and now is not the time to be spending more money. It's to button up, make sure that you can pay your bills. Thanks.
And Mr. Erdahl.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Sure. What specifically do you see as the number one obstacle or challenge for the Grossmont Union High School District?
You started that question with me.
I'm so sorry. That's just right. Checking to see if Mr. Erdahl was on top of things. And he is. All right. All you guys might get tested tonight. Just be on your toes here. Okay. We're going to start with Ms. Boone. And the next question is, how do you feel about separation of church and state? Or we have several versions of these. Do you believe in separation of church and state? Address this church and state issue.
I do believe in separation of church and state, and I think all of us benefit from that clear separation. So that I think that the school board certainly and the schools need to clearly maintain this separation. It's part of our heritage, separation of church and state, and it gets really messy when you start trying to combine them or intermix them.
Thank you, Dr. Woods.
Make sure I have my button on. Okay, the Declaration of Independence states that we as individuals have been given inalienable rights by our Creator, the rights of liberty, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And there are many different positions of this in America today. And it'd be nice if we could be a little more tolerant of different viewpoints. But if elected, I'm going to obey the law of the land. I'm going to obey the state laws, the federal laws, and the local laws. Because that's what a school board member is supposed to do, obey the law. Because we're teaching ethics to our kids. We have to model ethics to our kids. And, ethics is important. Character counts. We've talked about that. And for me, that has to be the deciding issue. What type of character, and your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Schreiber.
As a board member, like Dr. Wood said, that we have to abide by the state education code, and therefore that's kind of a moot point. If we are in a different culture, we're in a culture where school started in the church houses and homeschooling and those type of things, there might have been a different influence, and the culture would be ready to accept some of the philosophies and great ideas that you have from our Creator. But our public education systems are not designed for that. Our churches are. But that still doesn't mean that I, as an individual, do not wholeheartedly support having the opportunity to voice my opinion in the public arena. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with Dr. Woods. I'll just say that I believe in the church, and I believe in the state, and I believe in the law.
Thank you. Mr. Erdahl.
I've always believed in the separation of church and state. I really don't know how to add very much to that particular comment, except to say that due to our increased attendance in the Grossmont School District, we're going to have multiply 115 times $7,000, and that's how much more money we're going to have this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see, I think that was everybody on that question. Okay, moving on to two more everybody questions, and then we're going to get into individualized questions, I think. We're starting with Dr. Woods. How do you feel about adding school days to the school year to make our children more competitive in the world? And as an example, Japan has 225 days.
And look what happened to the economy of Japan. It's getting worse than ours. I think learning needs to be fun. I know the kids can't vote for me, and your parents may, well, you might like this. But we know that there are things that help students learn, and it's when we make learning fun, and we make it practical, and it's real life, they do problem solving, that works. They don't need more days. In fact, they don't need more homework. They need to have some fun in life. And so the hours they spend in school, let them learn. The hours they're at home, let them have fun. They need that. They're children only once, and you remember how hard they make you learn. But kids, you can't quote me on this. Your teachers still want you to do some homework, and a little bit is good for you. You learn how to schedule your hours, but not hours and hours and hours of school. They need to have fun. Do I get an amen from any of the kids out there? Parents, I'm sorry about that, but that, my talk of education tells me that we are putting kids under too much pressure.
Thank you. Ms. Schreiber.
Thank you. I think we have lots of students who go the extra mile. They take on many extracurricular activities, many sports activities that develops teamwork and leadership. And so I think to have students be in a 24/7 school facility, if you will, and away from parents, parents should be saluted for the time that they have with their kids. And the quality that they have is diminishing in a sense because all that it demands on all the parents and the students who want to excel, to put them into any further education would be, longer days would be a tough one. But I will say that in order to meet our students that are in the middle, that's one of the things that we're trying to do without the extended work days or classroom days, is to really be more effective while we have those students in the classroom. Thank you.
We agree on that.
Thank you. Ms. Jednak.
Boys, do you want more school days?
Okay. And I'd like to see the statistics on whether or not more school days actually teach kids more. So I won't give a definite answer for that. I'd like to see the stats. But if we are truly effective teaching our kids for the time that we have, then no, we don't need more school days. If we aren't effective, or we're going to add more drama and music and art and vocational training, then yes, let's do it. I bet you every student that needs that would take it.
Thank you, Mr. Erdahl.
Well, the way the school system is set up now, there's summer school and there's all kinds of other schools that individuals can take if they want. If somebody wants to go to school all year round, they're more than welcome to it. As far as the schools in Japan and other countries overseas, if they're so wonderful over there, why are they all coming over here to go to college? I'll tell you why they're all coming over here to go to college, because when they're in high school over there, they pick only the brightest and the best. Once they start floundering, then they're no longer allowed to go to high school. Here in California, we take all kids from all walks of life, from every nationality and every disability there is, to give them an education. And that speaks for the American society. I wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boone.
I would need more information to answer that particular question, but I do, a related question is what we do with the schools when they're empty. And I know that there are attempts in this district, and I support them, to make use of the school facilities for more community activities, perhaps, or for special classes, so that we're maximizing the facilities.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go to a few direct questions and see if this works. If it doesn't, I'm going to go back to a generic question for everybody to answer. So the first one is for Mr. Woods. You teach for private colleges, and your son attends a private high school. What is your interest in being on a public high school board?
Well, that's just a part of my life. Now, of course, my son is a very major part of my life, but I have a Doctor of Education in Technology and Learning Styles. I've worked with inner city kids. I've taught in the public schools. Public schools really give the foundation of where our country is going. They're the ones that need the help. Private schools, some of us can afford to do that. In fact, the reason I put my kids in a private school is to keep them from people like the ones that are on our school board. I don't want to have my kids in a school district that is dysfunctional, with corruption, and that tolerates sexual harassment of kids. And so, I've been involved in education all my life. And that's the reason why I'm running for this, because I'm passionate about kids. Kids are where it's at. When we touch kids, we touch the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, this next question is going to be for the two incumbents. We'll start with you, Ms. Schreiber. If you could change any decision you made in the past year, what would it be and why?
In the past year, can we go back further?
Sure.
Can we go back further?
Sure. On the school board, any decision you
made. Oh, yeah, no, that's what I was thinking about.
Surely you've made a mistake in 8 years or whatever it is.
Since being on the school board for 8 years, and it was an honor to have been recruited by friends that we saw eye to eye on many issues, and I believe we still do. My decision to sever those ties, in a sense, was more about kids and less about politics. It was about the kids that we serve and the community we serve in public education. And I found that there was much more in my role as a school board member than occupying a seat and to stifle the progress of the Grossmont District. So I would say that the decisions that I've made in the past to help support those who have no intention of making public education better for all students would probably be one of my biggest mistakes.
Thank you. Mr. Erdahl?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I, too, have felt very honored to be on the Grossmont School Board for the last 4 years. I'm not sure about the worst decision that I've made. I really can't answer that, because most of the decisions I've made as a board member I think have been pretty good, and 99% of our decisions on the school board are 5-0. So you're talking maybe over the last 4 years, maybe one or three votes. The worst decision I probably made on the school board was the first 3 months, 4 months that I was elected. I allowed myself to be run around by the nose and not knowing what I was doing, listen to some very bad advice to support majority members at that particular time. Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Jednak, have you ever attended a Grossmont Union High School District Board meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on. let's see. 5514. Ms. Boone, what are your plans for motivating students? New classrooms and paint jobs is not motivating. I know this is a high school in San Diego.
I think students are motivated by being respected, and what I would, and I think that some things that are already being done should be continued. I think the Character Counts program, for example, I think that will help. I think that any other kind of program where students are involved, I think it's important to have students involved on the school board. And I'm glad to hear that there is a position on the school board for students. Students need to be involved and be respected.
Thank you. This is for Dr. Woods and Ms. Jednak. Were you recruited or are you supported by Gary Cass, Jim Kelly, or Ron Nehring, as the Union Tribune suggests?
Well, I've been a teacher for years. I've always been interested in education. I am currently the chairman of the Elkhorn Planning Commission, so I work a lot with property rights, and we have issues that come up for us constantly. But my real passion has always been education, and so I kind of keep tabs of what's going on here in the school district, and I just got more and more upset. In the Union Tribune, I read about scandal, read about dysfunction, I read about bankruptcies of board members, and I'm saying, this is not what education is all about. And so I kind of let the word be known that I was interested, and I have friends like Gary Kendrick and Mark Lewis, and I never met Jim Kelly until just a few weeks ago. So I wasn't recruited by the Rascal or whoever. Time's up.
Right. Would you please repeat the question?
Certainly. Were you recruited or are you supported by Gary Cass, Jim Kelly, or Ron Nehring, as the Union Tribune suggests?
Well, if you read my ballot statement, you would know that I am endorsed by Jim Kelly and Rob Shield and Gary Cass. Yes, I am a proud conservative Republican. Unfortunately, this is supposed to be a nonpartisan race, but everybody knows who runs for office. You have to get your party's endorsement, because you have to raise money. So I have to go to the recruiter of the Republican Party. His name is Jim Kelly, and I was able to convince him to take me on. I recruited myself. I was not recruited by anybody else. I was recruited by my three children who are going to go into the high school district. I attended a meeting. I saw the board and its dysfunction. I saw some of the tapes from some of the board meetings. I saw the erratic behavior and some of the lunacy that goes on, and all of them were culpable. There's not one non-guilty party on that board, but I recruited myself, and I did it for my three children, and I am the only one that has three children in this district, so kids are my priority, and I will not be partisan at all.
Ms. Boone, knowing the history of the Grossmont Union High School District over the last 8 years, what do you bring to make this a better district?
I bring, as I mentioned before, I bring experience in management and experience in supervision. I bring experience as a mediator and a bringer together. Basically, I've done a lot of that, worked with a number of different large groups where the groups had a variety of perspectives on issues, worked in bringing them together. I also bring a commitment to finding common ground and respecting differences.
Thank you. Let's see. Right, there are still a lot of questions about Proposition U. And in order to give everybody their two-minute closing statements, I think I might just read a few of the Proposition U questions, and then in the next round, what are we starting with? In the next round, I think we'll start with Ms. Boone and work backwards. And after I sort of read the characteristic of the Proposition U questions, you can sort of choose which part of that you want to address, if that's okay. All right, so here we go. If Proposition U does not pass, what if you are elected, will you do with the unfinished, unsafe schools that are also falling apart?
Wait, something else, uh-huh.
This is not their closing statements. This is sort of a one-minute stab at some Prop U issues before their closing statements. Let's see. If your house was assessed at $500,000 under Prop U, you would be paying less than $150 a year. Is this too much for taxpayers to pay for safe and updated schools? Tell us why you do or don't support Prop U to bring the Grossmont Union High School District up to the state of readiness, fully modernized. Do you plan to send your children to unsafe, outdated, and crumbling high schools? Do you support Prop U? If so, why or why not? You get the gist of the audience questions here? Okay, so we're going to start with Ms. Boone and work backwards, and you have another minute to address a little bit of Prop U, however you want.
Okay. I think that if Prop U doesn't pass, we'll be in a world of hurt because we have to fix those schools. The longer we wait, the more costly it will get. And also, when we don't fix the schools, what we're doing is we're saying we don't respect the students, we don't respect the community. If we will have respect for our community, we need to fix the schools. And I've forgotten what there was another. And I'm willing, as a taxpayer, I'm willing to spend $150 a year towards that. And I think most taxpayers who understand that this is a benefit to the community and the economic base would agree with me.
Thank you, Mr. Erdahl.
Well, I, as everyone in this room knows, I fully support Proposition U. To me, it's not even a question of is it yes or is it no. It's what are we as a generation today willing to do for our kids? And I've never met, in all my years of being active now in public life in the East County, whenever someone reaches their hand out to the community, says, I need your help so that I can make a better life for our children, this community has always come through. To say no to this, particular proposition, especially when you're talking maybe $100 a year or $90 a year to the average homeowner, I mean, that's less than going to McDonald's once a month, for goodness sakes. To say what it will do for the economy in East County, plus what it's going to do for the local job situation, which we all know is going into the doldrums right now. But to me, to say no on you is to be against kids. Thank you.
Well, I'd say, Mr. Erdahl, if you cared so much, why would you put in $65 extra million to build a school that will cost us at least $1 million a year to run when we may end up having to fire teachers at some point and get rid of certain things at all the other schools to keep another school that your own studies show that enrollment doesn't support? I have kids that are going to be in high school. I may move to Alpine again. I would love to have them have a school. This is a terrible time. I differ with you, Dr. Boone, because you say it's going to get more expensive, but in fact, it may not. I used to trade stocks, and you know they have five waves up and five waves down, and the commodity stocks are down right now, really, really down. And so I beg to differ. It's not always going to be more expensive. In fact, it may be really less expensive in a year and a half or 2 years, to go and do some of those things. We still have a couple hundred million dollars sitting. I know that they're earmarked, but we have $65 million in reserve right now, and we can fix those schools, the existing schools now, and not burden the taxpayers.
Ms. Schreiber? Thank you. I don't know if you made the board meetings when we had the discussion, the ongoing discussions with our Citizens Bond Oversight Committee, and actually back in February 3rd, 2005, it was first brought to the board at a strategic planning community session where we had a workshop in the morning to talk about some of the things that we've talked about here, you know, our how we meet our kids in the middle, how we have career tech to support those students that may not go on to a four-year college, or help articulate them from what we're doing in high school to a community college program. And I think we can get really excited about many of the programs that we're working to put in place that can only be helped with the passage of Prop U. In the beginning of Prop H, we did not have necessarily a plan that identified the programs that were necessary to fulfill this strategic plan. We had a huge concern and an urgent concern to put safety measures in place to fix our ADA, to fix the infrastructure, things like that. Now we're to a place, and under a new superintendent, and where the board came together in support of the strategic plan, we have an opportunity to make Grossmont the best district in the nation. Thank you.
Dr. Woods.
Prop H always anticipated a second proposition to be made to fix it or to finish it. But what happened to Prop H is an example of the dysfunction of the board. It was supposed to make our schools ADA compliant. Instead, a lot of other good things were done, but the ADA compliance was not the priority that it was required to be. I'm looking forward to a new proposition that is Proposition 13 compliant, that has a two-thirds majority vote, that will update the schools the way they need to be updated. I read the papers. We are in a time of record home foreclosures, bankruptcy. This is not a time, I could afford this extra money, but there are many people who can't, and this would be the difference. And we cannot do this to the taxpayers at this time. The technology is also changing dramatically. We get locked in right now, we're going to be behind the technology that will be here in 3 years, and that's when I'd like to see a bond that's Prop 13 compliant. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we just have just time for two-minute closings by all the candidates, and this is their opportunity to address anything that they want to at this point and wrap things up and tell you why you should vote for them. And we're going to start with Ms. Boone again.
Well, you know, I'm the new kid on the block. And I don't know everything there is to know about the board and its activities, even though I have tried to read as much as I could to learn about the issues. And I will continue to do that. I guess what I want you to know is that I bring a fresh perspective to the board, I believe. And I believe that I bring skills around bringing the board together, around working so that they work together, work collaboratively, listen to each other, respect each other, respect differences. And if I can do that, then I will have made a big contribution to the board. So I hope you'll support me.
Mr. Erdahl.
Well, I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for holding this debate tonight. And as I said earlier, I feel honored to have served on this board for 4 years. I look forward to another four-year term. I didn't know it was going to be a question and answer session combined with two people attacking. But be that as it may, when you don't have anything to run on, I guess that's all you can do is attack. That right now, the Grossmont Union High School District has been moving forward. The last 2 years, we've moved farther than we have in the last 15 years. If you want the district to continue moving in this direction, then you need to vote for me. If you want it to go back to the days where we had disputes and disruptive behavior all the time, then I'm not the candidate to vote for. I think my record speaks for itself, and that's what I run on, is the vast improvement of the Grossmont school boards compared to where they were, the dysfunctional boards that there was 2 years ago. I agree that the board was dysfunctional 2 years ago, but not anymore, and for that I'm proud. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to ask the other board members if they think the same thing as Mrs. Schreiber, Mr. Erdahl. You know, Mr. Erdahl, you're one of the reasons I am running, because I think character is an issue in this race. I think the board members need to be what they teach, and I believe that the two seats that are available, that are open, and the two people that are filling them now should be replaced, and I'm hoping to replace them. And, you know, I think it's a referendum on character. I don't like to badmouth people. I will never do it in public, and I will never do it on the to my team members. But I'm running for an office. I'm running for an office, and I have to differentiate myself from them. I'm honest.
You sure do.
I'm not being sued. Mr. Erdahl is being sued for larceny. He's lost his business. He's in foreclosure. That is not the type of person I want teaching my kids. Mrs. Schreiber is divisive. She doesn't live in the district, you guys. She is dysfunctional. She calls her team members names. She lies. She represented her own party, and now she's not. She's gone to another side, and now she's represented by the other side. And listen, the other side, you can't trust her either, because she'll switch on you. Whatever interest she has for her own political gain, she doesn't have children in the district. They have their own platform and their own agenda. I have three kids in the district. That's why I'm running. I want to represent the kids in this district and my own, and I want a fully functional board and something that this whole county will be proud of. Ms. Schreiber.
Thank you. I have prepared notes, but there's just been so much bantered about here as far as scandals and my bank account, and I'd like to know what I have in my bank account that's so large that concerns you. I have to tell you, I don't know you two, but I'm going to tell you, you will be oppressed should you get elected to this board. You will be asked to do whatever the bidding is of the majority leader. Most likely that would be Mr. Kelly, because he desperately needs his power back to stop moving this district from going forward. Nothing happened for 4 years while he was the leader of this board. And if you go online, you'll see under the San Diego Taxpayers Association, we're very happy to have turned their neutral to a support. Member Erdahl and myself and Member Hoy have worked very hard, and Member Schild and Member Kelly have worked most of the time as a unanimous board. But you will see in that report that there's this dysfunction that you talk about was back then. I will tell you that this district, I have found, stands strongest in the face of tragedy. Valuable lessons learned are incorporated in our vision statement, strategic plan, and bond program. It is our students that we are responsible for, and it is their safety and successes that should matter most. Under the leadership of Superintendent Bob Collins, the board unanimously supported the district's strategic plan, a portfolio of great schools, our master facilities plan, and at one point, Prop U was a unanimous vote by this board. With all due respect to my opponents, this current board is not so broken that we need a change in this election. We have accomplished many good things together. This is a crucial junction for Grossmont. Boards are not perfect, but this district deserves the collective experience that exists currently to move forward and do what's best for students in this district. You two are coming in with the same bill of goods that I was handed, and I certainly hope that you can step away from that and realize who you're getting your marching orders from, because it will be a devastating day in Grossmont if either one of you get elected to this board. Thank you.
And Dr. Woods.
4 years ago, the incumbents were elected or endorsed by the Republican Party of San Diego County. This year, they went before that same group and were denied endorsement. Why? I'll tell you why. They endorsed Ms. Jennick and myself, because my opponent is a bill collector of the worst kind. He is a bankrupt bill collector. He has squeezed 3.2, and this is from the Union Tribune, $3.2 million from average citizens, and now he's declared bankruptcy. That is corruption. He has purchased a new car to hide money from bankruptcy court. He is under investigation from the DA for campaign irregularities. He is being sued for larceny, for embezzlement, for fraud. He's made illegal loans to his wife. He wants to oversee a $500 million of taxpayers' money. That is corruption. Voting for our opponents is like voting for the fox to run the hen house. I come from a family of teachers, and we don't stand for this type of thing from the board. My opponent is bankrupt. He has violated the Brown Act. That's a legal thing. If I were bankrupt and I were being investigated for embezzlement, fraud, and larceny, I would not subject this district to the ridicule of the laughingstock that it is becoming. And if Mr. Erdahl was a man of integrity, he wouldn't be running. He would be right now resigning. And so, Mr. Erdahl, for the sake of our kids, please resign and stop making Grossbach the laughingstock of San Diego. Ms. Schreiber here is in league with him. She's endorsed this corruption. She's part of the corruption. She also violated the Brown Act. And she has put people on the oversight committees who I don't think are doing their job. And she's trying to deceive people and thinking she has a degree that she doesn't have any degrees at all. That's deception. That's corruption times two. Friends, if you want higher taxes and you want continuing corruption and dysfunction from the school board, then vote for our opponent. But if you want excellence in education, if you want appropriate technologies, if you want learning environments and fiscal responsibility, then vote for Ms. Jednak and myself. Thank you.
Okay, that concludes our evening. I want to thank everyone for coming. There's a lot of food for thought.